Pensacola's first choice for morning news, traffic, sports, and talk. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. Good morning, Pensacola.
Right around 6 o'clock yesterday evening, a gray vehicle, an SUV, which had been reported stolen the night before from Willer Avenue. This gray vehicle entered Oakwood Terrace, drove around a little bit, and then it stopped in front of the P building. This vehicle was carrying four adult males. Once the vehicle stopped at the P building, the four males exited that vehicle. Now keep in mind, this is 6 o'clock. But it's still rather light outside. So we had a number of people that lived there. We had a number of children that are running around there. Life was normal up until that point. Unfortunately, that changed rather rapidly.
Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons doing a press conference on Friday after the show was over, talking about the shooting that taking place on Thursday at around 6 o'clock at the Oakwood Terrace housing project over on the west side of Pensacola, Midwest side, I guess you'd say, really technically. But yeah, it was bad. I mean, really, really, really bad in basically the middle of the day. I mean, 6 o'clock is still light. You got this SUV pulls up and
we had four people get out of that car, two with the handguns, and two stayed near the car with what we call long guns. The two with the handguns fanned out a little bit, and then the ones with the long guns stayed toward the car. They ended up firing approximately 40 rounds into an area right in front of the P building. That area was where there was a group of people, I would say five or six people, that had gathered around another car. So they fired 40 rounds into this group of people in broad daylight in the middle of Oakwood Terrace.
It's unbelievable. Try to imagine this is at your block party, your neighborhood. You know, or this is at just there's a group of you neighbors hanging around outside, and all of a sudden, somebody pulls up, four people pull up in a stolen SUV, all jump out with guns and start firing at your crowd. Unbelievable.
The injuries are not considered to be life-threatening at this time, but some of them are serious. We had gunshot wounds to legs, to hands, one to chest, one to a head, and one to an ear. They have been treated or being treated, and none of them appear to be life-threatening in nature.
That's unbelievable. I mean, praise God. That is an unbelievably good outcome for 40 shots fired by four different guns into a crowd that only five people were injured and none of them dead. And it was originally six, but that was because one guy, or a person, I think it was a man, was at the scene, said he wasn't going to go to the hospital, then turned up at the hospital, so they kind of double-counted him immediately, originally. They recovered the car, burned up on Quintet Road, stolen the night before, and burned afterwards. And look, they need help. They need you to call Crime Stoppers. They need you to call 911.
There's no way that four people in the middle of the day can get out in a crowded apartment complex, fire 40 rounds, get back in the car, and then leave, and no one knows anything. We know that's not the case, so we're asking for your help.
Absolutely, and Commissioner Lumen May was there. Of course, it's his district, District 3, talking about the importance of helping the police.
I want to thank Sheriff for a quick response, for being active, for being a sheriff that was on the scene, and for caring. Petition those who have information to come forward. This is not an isolated incident. This is not something that just affected the people that got shot, but it has adversely affected this community. So to all of those who are listening, all of those who are paying attention, snitches don't end up in ditches. People who love their community share information so their community can be safe. So again, my prayers are with all of the families, and my prayers are with this community. Thank you, Sheriff.
Yeah, and Crime Stoppers, you know, for those who might not know, Crime Stoppers is not just like you trust the police not to tell. They literally don't know. They don't know. The way it works is you call in, you get they don't know your number, okay? You give them a piece of information, and you get a little ID, like a code. That's it. And then if it pays, you turn in that code. It's that simple. It's just, I mean, they never know who you are. In fact, if they know who you are, they're not allowed to pay you by law. So they're not keeping your secret. They don't even have it. But it is necessary. And this is something that it just, you know, I just know how people think. And some people are going to think like, well, you know, it's a project. It's Oakwood Terrace. It's poor people. Or God forbid they say this or maybe think it is black people. You know, it's criminal area. These are citizens. They are citizens of our county like any other citizens of our county. And there may be a target and probably was a target in this group, one or two people. But they were shooting indiscriminately into a crowd with women, children. They don't care. People have a right to be safe from a military-style assault on their lives. Whether they live in the richest neighborhood on Pensacola Gulf Breeze or they live in the projects of Pensacola Village or Oakwood Terrace. Every single citizen deserves to feel safe. Because by the way, you know, I just some people might say that you kind of have this like, well, it's only there. It's not my, you know, it's not East Hill. We're okay. You know, it's not my area. It's okay. Well, you know, typically people who live like in Oakwood Terrace don't have a lot of options. You know, even if they hated where they live, it's not like they can go somewhere else. It's even more imperative to protect those people in a way because they have no options typically. They don't have some big choice. They can go somewhere else. So I really hope for a fast resolution. He said they got 30 deputies out working on this, investigators and deputies, you know, and also, you know, it's like PPD. They've got extra patrols out, you know, trying to thwart the retaliation payback kind of stuff.
I said a second ago that we're fortunate. And in fact, I think I said it was a miracle that no one was killed. It is a miracle, but it wasn't because they didn't try. It was, again, we had four people. Two of them fanned out so that they can cover more ground, and they just began to shoot indiscriminately into this one group, which is about, I say, 50 feet away from where their car had parked. They planned this. They circled around. They parked their car to where this Ford Escape would be able to leave as soon as this this shooting took place. So these are people that intended to kill people, and they didn't care who it was. They didn't care if it was the person they were looking for, and they didn't care if it was the person they were talking to. They didn't care if it was a young child they were holding or a child in the area. They quite simply did not care. So hopefully we're appealing to the community that does care. We're appealing to those who want to put a stop to this, someone who knows something, because we know that there are people out there with information.
Absolutely. 716 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. And now you've got Ellison Bennett is calling together a group of to get together and talk about some of this tomorrow. So we'll see what comes of that. He's always very active in these matters.
That certain variants, although they are different and might elude the vaccines a bit, they really have a wide spectrum. For example, the 117, the one that is dominant now in the United States, Dana, is very well taken care of by our vaccines. Even some of the ones that are more problematic, the vaccine might not completely protect against it, but it almost certainly, at least in our current experience, protects against very severe disease, death particularly.
Yeah, I think it is obvious. You know me, I look at these numbers every day, every day. I don't post about them every day anymore. I post about it once a week on Wednesdays typically. But I look at these numbers every day, and he's exactly right. The B117 variant is the dominant strain by far in the country. It's actually the majority of the cases in Florida, 53% the last time I looked at it. If it were not for the vaccine, I feel very comfortable saying this, if it were not for the vaccine, we would be in the middle of wave four or five, depending on how you want to count them. Clearly, we are having a little bit of a rise in cases in Florida, a little bit of a rise in hospitalizations in Florida, a little bit of a rise in cases across the country. Not significant. I think that's because of the vaccine. If it were not for the vaccine, we would be seeing massive rise in cases, and it would be the B117 variant, the more contagious UK variant, which is already displacing the other variants because it is spreading rapidly, but because of vaccinations. I mean, we have a more open society and vaccines, and we don't have an explosion of cases in a very contagious variant. Why? The vaccines work. I mean, they work. It's that simple. 7:23 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. The case age in Florida continues to drop. It's now 34. It had been over 40 during the height of the pandemic. You might say six years is not that big of a deal. It is when you look at 20 million people and the sample rate and how a year makes a big difference. It has dropped steadily since vaccinations began, and it's now at an average of 34. Mark Jacobs in the newsroom with our headlines. Mark?
Closing arguments in the trial against a former Minneapolis police officer accused in the death of George Floyd get underway this morning.
Derek Chauvin has been charged with second-degree murder, third-degree murder, and manslaughter for kneeling on Floyd's neck during an arrest last May. Jurors heard 2 weeks of testimony from dozens of witnesses. As the defense wrapped up its case last week, Chauvin invoked his Fifth Amendment rights and refused to testify.
That's Mark Mayfield reporting. The nation's top expert on coronavirus expects a decision this week on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Dr. Anthony Fauci saying he thinks either a warning or a restriction will be recommended. An expert panel advising the CDC meets again Friday. Another state trying to lure people in with free money. West Virginia paying $12,000 for remote workers to move there. They also get 12 months of free recreational activities and outdoor gear rentals. The offer for now is only if you decide to live in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Any special award if you have names that fit a certain song lyric?
Almost Heaven. West Virginia.
If your name happens to be Mountain Mama.
Blue Ridge Mountain.
You get extra money.
Shenandoah River.
Well done. You're almost singing.
I'm almost there.
Yeah. Mark, thanks for the update. 7:25 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Davis Allen has traffic on the fives.
And going back to Garcon, I'm noticing not so many delays now. It's still moving just a little slower as you're commuting. Certainly keep an eye on that. But right now, it appears that it's not going to keep you too delayed. One thing I am noticing, though, if you're traveling along Avalon northbound, there's a disabled vehicle around Romano Street, and its lights are on. Not any accidents there, just disabled on the side of the road, but traffic is moving a little slow past that. We'll keep an eye on that. Again, that's northbound by Romano Street is where this disabled vehicle is located. Seeing no delays southbound, I-10-I-110 checking and clear. Minor delays on 9 Mile Road in front of the Navy Federal Complex going eastbound, but no delays at the front gate of NAS Pensacola. In this report, it is brought to you by Quigley Lighting's liquidation going out of business sale. It's Monday through Friday, 9 till 5, while supplies last. Chandeliers, ceilings fans, outdoor and bathroom lighting. You can pay with credit cards or cash and carry. I'm Davis Allen with the Traffic on the Fives.
So, you know in your business how there are some things that you wake up in the morning and you're like, man, awesome, I get to deal with this today. Like, it's a challenge, you want to solve it, you're good at it, you enjoy it. There's other stuff where you're like, I have to deal with that today. You know, and every business has both of those elements, right? So if one of the, man, I have to deal with it today is like insurance benefits, dental, vision, life, disability, human resources stuff, you know, payroll. If that's the stuff you're like, man, I just don't want to deal with it. But you have to, Torgerson Causey, because they get up in the morning and they get excited about that stuff because they know they can help you streamline. They can help you maybe save money. They can certainly help give you options on these things and give your employees options. And they can help take the load off you so that you can focus on the stuff that you're like, man, I get to deal with that today. That's what their business is all about. Helping local business owners handle the stuff they don't really want to have to deal with, but know they need to. For more than 20 years locally, give them a call today. Check them out. Get a no-obligation review of your program, 433-9996, or online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. It's 7:29 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Hey, a couple of local notes here. One is if you saw Graffiti Bridge over the weekend, it was pretty funny. I was over there on Saturday doing cleanup for Ocean Hour and saw lots of cars driving through the water that was lingering from the storms of the day before. What was funny about it, the video's up on our Facebook page if you want to see people driving through there. A lot of them turned around because they weren't too sure. I don't blame them. If I hadn't seen cars go through, I wouldn't have, and I did not drive through it. I didn't need to, but of course you don't need to as much right now with some of the road being out because of the overpass. But I did think it was funny that somebody had painted a slow no wake sign on one side. Like if you're going through there, careful, man, go slow. Don't produce a wake. Also, the Godwin Connector. We're biking in Tiger Point these days, and I managed to bike that weekend. Very cool. That's that brand new boardwalk that goes over the swamp-ish sort of area between Was it Maduro and Soundside, I think, over there. Very cool and on the south side of Highway 98. And there's some other bike paths in that vicinity as well, so all good stuff. Oh, and also the Roger Scott tennis court that had the windscreens and the chain link blown down the previous weekend, that's all up and fixed. So that's all back to normal functioning, which is good news, obviously. Joining us in a moment, we'll talk gun laws with Chris Smith. Mark, what do you have coming up, sir?
Escambia County Schools want kids back in the classroom this fall.
News. I'm Lillian Wu. A manhunt continues for the suspect in the multiple killings in Austin, Texas, Sunday.
Law enforcement in and near Austin, Texas, are still searching for a former sheriff's deputy for surrounding Travis County by land and by air. They say it was 41-year-old Stephen Broderick who shot three people to death. Broderick had some connection to these victims. Broderick was fired from his job and is charged with sexually assaulting a child.
Fox's Evan Brown. There's been a first in space by NASA's miniature robot helicopter on Mars early Monday.
That Ingenuity has performed its first flight. The first flight of a powered aircraft on another planet.
That's NASA and what it was saying, the first powered controlled flight by an aircraft over the surface of another planet. America's listening to Fox News.
I'm Jennifer Kishinka with Your Money Now. Climate change has been a key topic in President Biden's first 100 days in office, including in a massive infrastructure pitch. Now, the administration looks to reclaim a global leadership position in the fight to slow man-made global warming at a closely watched summit this week. At the virtual conference to be held Thursday and Friday, the Biden administration intends to galvanize efforts by the world's major economies to reduce emissions. 40 global leaders were invited to take part. Volkswagen, Ford, and Chinese brands unveiled new SUVs for China's growing market today at the Shanghai Auto Show, the industry's biggest marketing event in a year. Automakers are looking to China, the biggest auto market by sales volume and the first major economy to rebound from the pandemic, to propel a sales revival and reverse billion-dollar losses. Auto Shanghai 2021 is taking place under antivirus controls that include holding some news conferences by video link. On Wall Street, futures are lower. That's Your Money Now.
Good morning, 7:37 here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And joining us now, we have Chris Smith. He is the owner of Gulf Coast Gun in Milton. When you're driving down Highway 90 and you look over and you see that big old shop with all the gun signs, including the black silhouettes of those big, beautiful, so-called ugly black guns on the roof, that's his shop. Chris, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Great to have you. I listen to you talk a bunch when I see your presentations in the county commission meetings, and I always think you have interesting things to say. And as far as, you know, loving the Second Amendment, I'm not sure there's anybody who loves it more than you, which is why I wanted to have you on. Because some of the things that President Biden has proposed, we were talking about this a little bit last week, but I wanted to just get more clarity. So let's kind of start with a couple of these proposals. The ghost gun proposal, the idea of being able to buy guns that don't have any serial number in their parts and then assemble them yourself. Can you maybe just take a minute and tell people what is the law right now and how would things change if his proposal went into effect?
Right now you can buy 80% lowers and you have to drill them yourself. You have to assemble them yourself. And it's perfectly legal. The thing is what they're mad about is there were kits being sold, but anyone with a CNC machine can build their own firearm. And so banning ghost guns will not do anything to protect anyone or get any guns out of dangerous people's hands, because they're always going to be able to find a way to build their own firearm if they really want to, just like they can purchase their own firearm if they really wanted to.
Okay, so this is a talking point, not really a practical distinction, because the people who know how to assemble a gun would be able to figure out a way to assemble one regardless of the legality of purchasing online a so-called ghost gun kit or an 80% lower. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. Everything that he proposed last week was a talking point. None of it would do anything to stop any sort of gun violence or deaths or anything else.
What about the pistol stabilizers issue? Now, I know this is a very complicated topic, but the way I understand it, you correct me if I'm wrong, is they want to reclassify a short barrel AR style, like a, you know, a 223 weapon that you could attach to your arm to stabilize it to be fired with one hand. They want to reclassify that as a short barrel rifle, which would bring it under some of the federal firearms bans or restrictions anyway. Who uses these guns, and what would the effect be if they managed to accomplish this? What would it change in terms of the people who actually buy these guns' lives?
There are a lot of people that buy pistols with braces. The thing is they buy them for novelty. At no point does a shorter barrel make your gun more accurate or more dangerous. It actually makes it more inaccurate. In a 5.56 or 223, if it's not a 10-inch barrel, then the gun is very inaccurate anyway. And who would want to make a gun less accurate to begin with? But what they're trying to do is put these pistols with a brace on the NFA list, which, if they're so dangerous and they're so scared of them, why aren't they trying to ban them? Why are they trying to put them on an NFA list? All that happens on an NFA list is you pay a $200 tax stamp. You go through the same background check that you would if you were purchasing the gun from my shop. It just takes longer because the ATF does the background check and not the FBI NICS system or the Florida Department of Law Enforcement. Depends on background checks, depend on your state, but at the end of the day, they all go through the FBI NICS system. So they're not actually doing a different background check. They're not actually taking more steps. They're just charging you $200 to be able to purchase this.
Okay, so if the gun is more dangerous in a way that justifies regulation, then you'd move it into the category with a machine gun, as opposed to just adding a tax cost to it, which raises the difficulty of acquiring it and basically means that only people that have the disposable income can buy it rather than people actually qualify because they're better citizens. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. It just puts another tax on it and makes it harder to get for people with lower incomes.
Well, so back to the pistol stabilizer, which is kind of what we're talking about anyway. What about the argument that is made that if you have a pistol stabilizer, it's easier to conceal this gun? Now, I think I know the answer to this, but you've got a gun that's firing a more dangerous round, the 223, even though it's less accurate with a short barrel, it's still a more dangerous round than, say, a 9mm. What about the argument that, hey, that short barrel AR style, okay, is easier to conceal under a coat, and when you pull it out and it's got the pistol stabilizer on it, it's more able to be used than something else that somebody might not be able to conceal as well? Even though the tax issue aside, what would you say to that argument?
It's not easier to conceal. Anybody that's ever had that's bought a pistol with a brace or an SBR. I mean, I currently own a couple of SBRs myself. I had to pay the $200 tax stamp just like everyone
that's
else.
That's a short barrel rifle for people who don't know the acronyms. Go ahead.
Short barrel rifle, yes. But, I mean, if you compare one to a rifle, when you collapse the stock on the rifle, you're saving, 4 inches most of the time. It's absurd. These are all talking points. And actually, I mean, the only reason they're talking about this one this time is because one person used a pistol with a brace. Mm-hmm. That same person would have done just as much damage with a rifle. They just try to inch away at our Second Amendment right every single time they get an opportunity to. And this is just another opportunity for them to do that.
And again, you correct me if I'm wrong, but the idea of a concealable rifle, short barrel rifle with a pistol stabilizer, well, the way you would conceal something would be to have it under your coat, but if your arms are out, you're going to have to take a moment to do the attaching of it with the pistol stabilizer. So in that time frame, it's not concealable. I mean, it's actually a fairly slow process to bring that into functional status, right?
Yes. And I mean, honestly, there's not... honestly, the 223 and 5.56 is not more dangerous than the 9mm. They say that it's a higher capacity magazine. It's not. I can get a 50-round drum on just about any pistol that I wanted to.
Right.
And the higher the capacity, the heavier the gun's going to be, the harder the gun is to use, the harder the gun, it's less accurate because it is harder to use, the more likely to have failures to feed on the firearm. honestly, there's no way I would put these huge high-capacity magazines in my firearm if I was using them to save my life or for some reason other than just going out to the range and having a good time with it.
Yeah, right. And because, you know, the higher, that is my understanding, the higher capacity ones, you have more higher failure rate. The spring is, you know, has to be bigger to push all of those bullets up. I mean, they're not real. There's a reason that the military doesn't use these. It's because they don't work as
Absolutely.
Well. We're talking to Chris Smith of Gulf Coast Gun. Chris, hang on for me for just a second. Let me put you on hold for just a moment and get a quick traffic break with Davis Allen.
And taking a look at Garcon Point Bridge going northbound, it is slow moving, leaving Gulf Breeze until you get through the toll plaza. Really, until you get through that light at the intersection of Garcon Point Road and Avalon. The rest of the way appears to be flowing smoothly. Southbound, seeing some delays stemming from that light at Avalon and Garcon Point Road. And also going southbound on the bridge, actually appears to be flowing smoothly, while eastbound delays and Gulf Breeze are backed up around the Sonic Drive-In. And 9 Mile Road delayed in front of the Navy Federal Complex, backed up eastbound towards Beulah Road. I'm Davis Allen with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Davis. Back to Chris Smith, the owner of Gulf Coast Gun. Chris, one of the arguments that comes up quite frequently is the magazine size. As you said, the big magazines are not all that reliable anyway, but they'll say a 10 round magazine, whether for a pistol or for a rifle, is always adequate for any need. 20 or a 30, or like in the case of a Glock 19, a 17 round that you know the side by side. What would your response be to people who say that you don't need anything more than 10 rounds ever?
Well, I mean, police officers get into situations where they have to have, you know, 30 rounds to fire into them. No one knows how many rounds you're ever going to need until you're in a certain situation. So how could someone come out and say that, oh, you only need 10 rounds? Well, if three home invaders come into your home and you've never been in this situation before, I mean, your adrenaline takes over. They say that your mind gets cloudy. So how do you know that you're only going to need 10 rounds? And about the time I have to reload, I have to put another magazine in my firearm. That could cost me my life or cost one of my kids their life at that point. So 10 rounds is just absurd. At the end of the day, these are all talking points. They just want to control us. And the fact that they don't actually, if they wanted to save lives, then they would stop other things. Guns only, I think it registers about 25th on the things that kill most Americans. 30 to 40,000 people are killed by guns every year. Half of those are suicides. See, that's a mental issue at that point.
Right.
So you take that down to 15 to 20,000 people are killed by guns every year. You're more likely to die from falling than you are from gun violence.
Yeah,
it's a proven fact. You can look it up.
Yeah, the issue of suicide
if
is certainly.
If you're Joe Biden, you're probably 10 times more likely to die from falling. But you know, that's a different conversation. But it's not about saving lives. There's 250,000 people die every year from medical malpractice. 600,000 people a year die from heart disease. I think it's around that same number for cancer. So if they were actually interested in saving lives, they'd be looking at things like that. Car accidents cause just as many deaths as gun violence. So
Chris,
it's really about control.
In terms of the magazine size, I actually was thinking that the Oakwood terrorist shooting was one of those situations where, you know, if I've got a 10-round magazine, I've got to be really, really good in order to defend myself in a situation against four armed gunmen. 17, at least I've got a chance, or 30. Or something. I mean, just, you know, not that you'd have that handy. But last question I wanted to ask you about is it's just the ammunition shortage. Why is there, it's still on, right? Like, it's hard to find ammunition and even guns too, but why ammunition is still short?
So you have to take into account that there were 50 million households that owned firearms before the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. They added about 10 million households, which is about two per household. So 100 million people have been buying ammunition in bulk since March of 2020. There's no industry that could hold a rush like that. And they're still buying ammunition. It hasn't stopped. The manufacturers cannot keep up. And the reason you're not seeing it in the big box stores is because they have contracts at lower prices. The big box stores are trying to get their fill of ammunition from Federal and CCI and places like that. at these lower contracts that they signed 2 and 3 years ago. Well, these companies, with their shortage, are not selling them as much. So you're not seeing them in the big box stores. Stores like mine have had ammunition on the shelf almost the entire year, and that's because we're going out and paying higher prices for it.
I got you.
You know, it's there's still a shortage out there. They have to change over their lines to do a different caliber. So once they change over their lines to do a certain caliber, 9mm gets harder to get, or 380 gets harder to get. You'll see a little run of 38 special or 357. But at the end of the day, they're just trying to catch up. I mean, 100 million people went out and bought 100 boxes of ammunition in a year's time. That's a killer on an industry.
No, that makes sense. Well, that helps. I mean, it's kind of, I kept wondering, why does it continue? But as you say, more people are buying guns, and more people who have guns are buying more ammunition for a variety of reasons. And that's just basic economics. Chris Smith, Gulf Coast gun owner. Chris, hey, thanks for the time, man. Really interesting stuff. I certainly appreciate it. I know as you're getting your family ready for school and all that stuff this morning, but thank you so much for the time, man.
That's all right. Thank you for having me, Andrew. Also, I want to say if anybody wants to check out any more gun laws, we do a live Facebook and YouTube show every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. called The Gun Show. So
oh, nice.
Check it out on Gulf Coast Guns Facebook page.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. 7:51 on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I'm Andrew. Good morning, 7:54 on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Mark Jacobs is in our newsroom with the headlines. Mark?
This is the last day for attorneys in the Derek Chauvin murder trial to make their final pitches. Closing arguments to get underway soon. Prosecutors argue the former Minneapolis cop used excessive force on George Floyd, while the defense blames a drug overdose and other health issues. California Democratic Congresswoman Maxine Waters facing some backlash over these comments encouraging Minneapolis protesters.
We've got to stay on the street, and we've got to get more active. We've got to get more confrontational. We've got to make sure that they know that we mean business.
North Carolina Republican Congressman Madison Cawthorn is calling for Waters to be kicked out of Congress. The Pentagon confirms the authenticity of some recent UFO videos. Photos and videos of unidentified flying objects recently surfacing on some websites showing objects described as metallic blimps, spheres, pyramids, and acorns. On Friday, a department spokesman telling CBS News, yes, those videos were taken by Navy personnel.
I'm not talking about this again, Mark. there's no good endpoint of this conversation.
Oh, well, it's either this or it's that.
Yeah, it's that's exactly
and
right.
And neither one
it's,
of them is
neither,
all that good.
Neither option is good. That's right. That's either them or the other them. Yep. Mark, thanks for the update. Davis Allen, time for a quick shot of sports.
Well, this is a neat story from over the weekend. Carl Madison, a legendary head football coach who coached Milton, Tate, and Pine Forest High School all to state championships. He is named as an inductee into the Florida High School Sports Hall of Fame.
Nice.
So congratulations. He also, more recently, back in 2002 and 2003, coached the Tiny James or Matt the Jackson, sorry, the Jackson Academy School in Jackson, Alabama, to two state titles. Took over a year after they went 0-10. The very next year led him to a state championship. So yes, yeah, certainly he deserves a nod into the Hall of Fame. Congratulations, Coach. I'm Davis Allen with your quick shot of.
Here on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Oh, some of the Capitol rioters. You notice people are not calling it an insurrection so much anymore? That's still illegal. I mean, it's still legal to invade the Capitol, violate the law, riot, deface property, and attack the police, depending on which portion of that you were involved in. But anyway, several of the defendants are now trying to claim that they're exempt or that they're innocent on the basis of being journalists. Yeah, so the way I understand it is that as a journalist, I still have to obey the law. I don't know how this is going to work for anybody, but you can try.